Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. Open minds on cosmic lines. To call in to future episodes, the number is 1-833-703-0424. The show is recorded live the second and fourth Sunday of every month. Please subscribe to Alien Theorists Theorizing on YouTube to watch it live, or patreon.com/alientheoristspodcast to watch on demand. The cosmic channels are open. Welcome back to Cosmic Channels. I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Your boy Braden is soaking up the suns and the cervezas.
Jolly old Mexico.
Buddy, that guy's fucking knee-deep in guacamole right now.
Oh, he's getting attacked by wild dogs.
Elbows deep, you know, for sure. Boy.
He's probably got kidnapped.
Already got a fucking sick Speedo tan, too, I bet. Just greased up. Oh, man.
Big time. All right, I believe we have a caller on the line. They've been on since before we even started, I think. So let's bring them on.
Oh, wow. It's dedication.
Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hi, I'm James from East Gwillimbury.
Oh, James. Hey, thanks for waiting on the line there before we started.
Yeah, no worries. Hey, I'm over in East Gwillimbury. It's a little bit north of Toronto.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, cool, man. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I really like it a lot. I appreciate what you're doing. So, anyways, I got some pretty groovy nighttime UFO sightings, you know, and one that's rather recent and most spectacular, actually.
Let's hear it.
All right. So I'm sitting in my hot tub, and I'm looking. There's a small airfield nearby.
Sitting in my hot tub.
Yeah. That's how it was. Anyway, 3 years ago, autumn 2018, approximately, and I should have had a photograph because if I'm in the hot tub, I'm doing Bluetooth. But anyways, this Cessna or something like a Cessna took off. Heading westward from this small airport. And this is not unusual by any stretch, but I'm watching it. And then behind it, about maybe 100 feet, 30 meters or so, is what appears to be a Zorby. Do you know those things that people climb in and roll down hills?
Yeah, those Zorb balls.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, something about the size of that. So overall, about the size of an aircraft, maybe 10 feet wide or whatever, like overall volume, similar to the small aircraft. Right. Anyways, it was being towed by this aircraft from liftoff. So that's odd for sure. And so I got out of the hot tub, I put a towel, and I went out to the front of my house and I watched this thing go, I don't know, 15 minutes until it was so far out of it was a long way away at that point. And, it never once veered away from the back of this aircraft. So this thing was towing a balloon is what it looked like. And I thought, well, that's freaking odd. Anyways, later on, I contacted that airport and I have twice, in fact, and both times they've said there is nothing that would be towed behind an aircraft that would look like that. Zero. There's not a chance that what you saw was what you're describing. So I thought I'd put that out to see if anyone else has ever seen anything quite like that. A lit orb about, let's say, 10 feet wide following a Cessna. And as I was watching it, you could see this small plane. If it made a slight correction left or right, this orb would make the identical correction So it was being towed, like I say, about 100 feet behind this aircraft. Have you heard anything like that before?
Well, no, like it'd be hard to tow something in the sky without wings, right?
Yeah, well, a small plane, I don't think even has enough torque or thrust to even to do such a thing. You could inflate something.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anyway.
Yeah, small plane, like if it was towing something, like I guess it could have, maybe if it was something really light, like a, just like a, if it was like a balloon, I guess. But if it had any type of weight to it, yeah, it'd be hard.
It was entirely lit, as though it were, like, it wasn't casting light, like beams by any stretch. It was just a lit ball. And it freaked, well, no, it didn't freak me. Anyways, I got a couple other ones if you, I'll be quick if you want to hear them.
Well, wait, let's stay on this one for a second. So you've seen this,
all right,
you've seen sure. this Zorb ball being towed by a small plane.
You said you've seen it multiple right. times? This is not the first time you've seen it?
No,
you...
just the one time. Just But oh, it was a long, time. A long event. 15 minutes I watched it, you know?
So a Zorb ball towed by a small plane, lit yep. up, seemingly... Yep.
Like, how bright was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, how bright are we talking?
Sort of like an LED light bulb. Like, not intensely lit, just a spot of light, but with extremely crisp edges, as though it wasn't a spotlight being shone on it or whatever. It was a spot of light itself, like a solid object.
Was it emitting a certain color, or is it just like the color of light?
No, kind of a soft light, kind of rather pale. Soft light, without no a white, a whitish light,
a whitish white light, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it didn't seem to be controlling itself. It did seem to be towed, like it was following the aircraft wherever. If it moved, the thing moved with it.
Quite right, yeah. If this plane took a slight bank, a little correction, maybe this thing did the exact same thing, but a moment later, you know, as though it were tethered. But it shouldn't have been tethered. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I got no knowledge of like devices being towed by air, but it could be like it could just be some type of scientific device, though. Could it not? Like some type of like,
that's what I thought.
Barometer or
something. I thought
something?
Maybe mapping or graphic. Like yeah, that's exactly what I thought, and that's why I called the airport and emailed them, and they said absolutely not. It doesn't exist.
Yeah,
so that's mental.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean. So if it's not something that the airport would be admitting, maybe it's some type of military something.
Well, yeah, up here north of Toronto, there's not even anything military nearby normally.
No air base or anything?
No, not at all. CFB Borden is, but no, I mean, we're not in the fight, right? There's not crazy crap. Also, it was a Cessna. I could hear the propeller, the small engine.
Right.
So you're sure it wasn't the snowbirds?
Not the snowbirds.
It wasn't the snowbirds just towing some type of giant ball emitting a white light.
Nah, that'd be too easy.
That would be easy. Yeah, I'd have figured that out. I'm not a kid. Yeah, I can sort these things out. But yeah, that's. I just thought maybe I'd call you guys, and if anyone else has ever heard of anything quite like that, if anyone's ever seen anything, then that'd be cool if someone else could chime in.
No, we appreciate
I've
it.
I've got a couple more though.
Hey, we try and limit the stories to one a week, but if you want to call back on next recording, let's hear from you again.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, Sean.
Bye. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like a scientific instrument, but if he put in the legwork and they're like, nah, we had nothing towing, then I don't know. I'm at a loss for that one.
Well, and to think, like, it'd be weird for it to be not, like, it's got no wings on it. Wouldn't it just be dragging?
Well, if it was light.
Like, wouldn't it be hanging? Like, I guess it would have to. So just, what do you think? Like, just like an air balloon type thing?
With like a small, like light electronics on board or something, maybe? I don't know.
That's interesting.
No idea. Maybe a cowboy pilot will call back and tell us.
Yeah, that would be nice.
All right, let's bring another caller on. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Oh, shit. I didn't think I was going to get life.
Welcome. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
First time calling.
First time?
Joel. Yeah, first time hearing you guys for a while, so I was like, hey, I'll give you guys a try, see if I get on.
That's all it takes, man.
Yeah, I'm calling from McAllen, Texas.
From Texas, right on.
Yeah, well, I kind of have a personal paranormal story.
Yep. You're in the right place.
Well, it was kind of traumatizing for me and my nephew. He just turned 15, so I would say, like, he was about 8 years old. Him and his mom had a house not that far from where we live right now. And he would always tell me, he's like, hey, this house is kind of creepy. I would hear, like, knocks, like, at 2 in the morning. And, like, my sister would make the bed of the other room. There's an empty room. That was for their expected son. And she would go do the bed. Like, 5 minutes later, she'll go back to check on it. It was like someone was jumping on it. And I'm getting chills thinking about it right now. And, well, he told me, it was on a Friday, and he told me about it. And I was like, fuck it. I'll sleep over at your house then. After school, I got my stuff and went to his house. And, well, yeah, sure enough, like, he fell asleep, like, around 9:30, 10. And by 12:30, it was already happening. They were knocking on the walls. And it was like, if you were ignored, it would get kind of more fierce.
Wait, it's knocking on
louder.
It's knocking on the walls.
Yeah, like if you're trying to knock on the door, like I can't read, like, nah, just knock on the door. And there was no one. It was just me, him, my sister, and her husband. And that room was empty. And well, yeah, we woke up to go check on it, and the bed was all messy. The curtain doors were open. The closet doors were open. And I was like, okay, this is kind of serious. So we fell back asleep. And maybe like 30 minutes to an hour later, the knock started again. But yeah, it was just knocks. And then from knocks, it went to shadows. And then from shadows, it went to like the doors opening and shit falling off the kitchen counter. And I don't know, man. It was, to this day, I can't explain. That's like one of my personal, like, paranormal stories that I still can't get over to this freaking day.
That's terrifying. Absolutely, you can't get over that. That's awful.
So the kid goes to bed. You make his bed. Yeah, tuck him in. You start hearing knocks, and then the closet doors are open, and the sheets are all messed up. The curtains are open, and in my mind, if I'm trying to explain it to myself, if it was happening, be like, oh, maybe the kid is. He's having like he's sleepwalking. Yeah, like, sleepwalking.
That's what my sister thought at first. That's what my sister thought at first, that it was probably him just messing around. But it started happening when he was at school, and that's when she was like, okay, then something's actually going on. And they moved out of the house, I would say.
Yep.
Smart.
Like three years ago, they moved out of that house, the one where all that was happening, and they got another house. Like. Also, like an hour away from that area, and it happened there for a little bit. Also, the same stuff. So it like kind of followed them.
Attached to them.
It followed for a bit, and then I don't know what happened. I guess it got tired of them and just fucking went to go bother some other family or something, because they haven't told me nothing about it.
Good, thank God.
Sounds like they're fortunate.
Good thing, because she said that before they left, it started getting a little bit more like.
Aggressive.
Physical, I guess. Like, she'll wake up with like scratches and like handprints. Like, if someone were to like hold her for like a good minute and then let her go, like that type of handprints.
Oh, so it was starting to become like a poltergeist. It was physical.
Yeah, something. And my dad was like, well, you better get the fuck out of the house before something actually happens.
Smart man.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty much. I was hearing you guys for a while, especially when I would drive up to work. You guys would make the drive a lot shorter. I was like, you know what? I'll give it a Sunday and see if they answer. And well, yeah, you guys answered.
So. No, hell yeah, man. Now, before we let you go, what do you think it is? Like, what's your theory?
I think that was a fucked up house, and I'm glad it's gone.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm tired of it no more.
Simple and efficient.
But somebody else lives in it now? Is the house still there?
Yeah, we passed by that house, I would say, like, a year or so ago, because they came up to Topic, and she still lives in that area. She went back to that area.
Yes.
Yeah, we passed by, and there was a family there.
Oh, poor bastards.
There was a family there. We're like, oh, well, fucking God be with them, because I don't know if that was just with you or with us, but yeah, we're just like, well, God be with them. We just went on about our day.
Better them than you, man.
Well, yeah, thank you guys for having me on. It was a good honor to be on the show for the first time, and I'm going to keep hearing you guys.
Hey, cheers, man.
Right on, man.
Thanks to all.
All right,
take care.
Have a good night.
All right, you too.
You think it's the kid? You think he's sleepwalking, then the kid's not at home, then then shit starts happening?
You always want to blame it on the kid. Kids are always, they're the easy targets to get paranormally activated.
Yeah.
They're already scary.
Yeah.
Nah. Just waiting for my kid to look at me the wrong way. That's it.
What would you,
it's getting adopted.
What would you do, Andrew, if tonight, 3 a.m., Niall just comes, starts screaming through the monitor? And he thinks
he's gonna do that no matter what.
No, but he swears there's something in his closet. Do you open the closet?
I could talk from my phone, be like, it's all good, man. Just
ignore it. Ignore it. You're fine.
Dad. No, I go in there, man. Whenever he has those little nightmares, I like pick him up and we discover it together. I bring my dog with me though, just in case.
Yeah, bring Axel. Axel's coming. Wise. All right.
Yeah, I'm not gonna wake Axel up tonight though. It's his sixth birthday. He's gotta sleep.
All right. Happy birthday to Axel. Let the dog go get his rest. All right, let's bring another caller on. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Just having a couple of beers, taking some calls. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Andrew, and I'm calling from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, are you part of the, what do they call them?
Bill's Mafia?
Bill's Mafia?
Yeah.
No, actually, I'm not.
Sabres fan?
Yeah, I'm more of a Sabres fan, yeah.
Right on there. They're struggling, but they're going to turn it around here soon.
You got those draft picks for Eichel. Things are looking up.
All right, man. What do you got for us tonight?
All right. So mine's more or less a theory.
Sure.
All right. So my theory is that what if the coronavirus is sort of all just a ploy, sort of for like an alien type of like welcoming, right? So what I mean by that is like, you know how like they're pushing the shot and stuff like that now, you know, the vaccine.
The third one? Like the booster? Is that what you're talking
about? Or just the vaccine in general?
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of in general.
Okay.
So, like, they're trying to vaccinate us for, like, different types of diseases, sort of from, like, different types of aliens.
Oh, okay. So they can bring more, like, alien species to Earth and we don't notice because we're not getting new diseases from them, or...
You know how the government is slowly like leaking, like, you know, like a lot of UFO footage and things like that. So maybe like they're trying to get us ready for sort of some type of like welcoming into like some type of federation, you know, from like the aliens or whatever.
What? Okay. So I'll get on board with this theory. So what if the Rona, this new coronavirus, is the first virus and it's the most like one on Earth, and that's what triggers it? Start with this vaccine, get everyone vaxxed up. So then you're already half immune for when, if the ETs do come and bring a slightly more deadly disease. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like how like the conquistador sort of like screwed over like pretty much all of South America and all of North America, you know, like
just bringing influenza
over and like wiped
smallpox.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like it wiped out like 90% of the population.
Yeah.
So they're prophylactically inoculating everybody for the new species of aliens that could potentially bring these space viruses, these space AIDS.
In the guise of the coronavirus vaccine. That's the theory?
Exactly. Yep. That's my theory.
I almost like that better than...
The real one?
The real one.
The real theory? Hey, I thought that too. Like maybe coronavirus is already...
It's already an ET disease.
An alien fucking virus, right? We don't know.
That's why it's so different.
That's why it's so bizarre.
Came out of nowhere. It affects human cells so differently than others.
Yeah, you know, like how it's sort of always shifting and changing as variants and, you know, and things like that. Maybe, you know, like there isn't, you know, like the variants are not, you know, sort of random like types of cell mutations. Maybe, you know, like they're actually doing it sort of on purpose. Like, all right, like you guys are vaccinated for this one. Well, here's the next one. You need to be vaccinated for this one now, you know, and it's going to take, you know, maybe, you know, like a year or two for us to get fully, you know, through the different types of viruses that maybe, you know, like the Galactic Federation of Aliens, you know, may have. You know what I mean?
The Galactic Federation requires Earth to be vaccinated against their diseases before we're allowed to join?
Maybe, right?
Hey, listen, this is... I would appreciate this way of doing it, though. This is a pretty eloquent way of doing it, because if they really wanted to, they could funnel us into little fucking, you know, little corridors and just us like cattle with those fucking guns if they wanted to.
Yeah, if they wanted to take us over, I mean, I don't think it'd be too hard. Maybe they're being nice about it.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, you know, like, I think it'd be a lot more, like, scarier and would for sure cause a lot of panic if suddenly a spaceship, you know, like, zapped in and was like, all right, we're going to start taking, you know, thousands of people and, you know, and shooting them up with random shit, you know.
But what could stop them?
Well, I mean, they want to stay disguised.
If you just zipped in, you just warp space and time and you can appear in the sky anywhere, any place in a matter of moments. And you're going to say, we're going to do whatever the fuck we want. Like, who's going to stop them?
Maybe they want to stay, you know, undercover. Pulling the strings from the dark.
They just want to be like super chill and bros, you know, like. You know, they're like, hey, you know, like, we actually want to be like friends with you. You know, we know humans, we tend to overreact. So, like, we want to make sure that you guys are like more, you know, like, just chill, you know, as possible and not go and freak out. So they're creating their own at first.
When it does happen and they do show up in warp speed, we just shoot nukes at them right away. That's what's going to happen.
Instantly.
But if you're able to harness that amount of energy, you'd be able to neutralize nuclear explosions like they're nothing.
Hey,
like any of our weapons, we've already seen it. We already saw it in those couple of times where, that you know, they had that one in like North Dakota where the UFO floated over the base and neutralized all the nuke launches.
It turned off all the systems. Yeah.
So you can stop them. I mean, wouldn't it be more like a Earth stood stills type of situation? Seem more plausible where they come here, they like, look, we can stop every single electronic device on your planet. There's no reason for you guys to resist us. We're not here to hurt you, but we can.
Yeah, but that's so fucking hostile, Dan. That's so, like, that's. Are you, we can destroy you if we really wanted to.
Yeah.
We could Thanos snap you motherfuckers away, but we're not going to. So take this magic space medicine so you don't get fucking space AIDS.
Yeah,
like, no, this is a way more.
we can stop all the wars, all the conflicts on your planet that you're currently currently experiencing.
You're too rational.
And we're just here. We're here to help you. We're just here to help. We could completely destroy you, but we're not gonna do that.
Dan, we have a group of people right now called our government being like, we're trying to help you guys not get a fucking deadly virus that's killing people, and we still don't want to take it. You think we're going to have a group of aliens crash land on us and force us into taking it? No.
No, I'm
it's not
going to
fucking happen. It's not going to
they just
happen.
Come down here and be like, if they're going to say, okay, if they're going to be nice about it, like, who wants to come with us? Like, like, why don't they just come down here and just be like, hey, who wants to come into the Federation? If you want to come into the Federation, it's just like going into a foreign country. Here are the shots. Here's the list of shots you need. Here's the identification card.
Hey, do you want to eat in restaurants? Do you want to eat in restaurants and go to the movie theaters? Then take this vaccine. If not, too bad.
I mean, it's for your safety and the safety of everybody else. I mean, if you're going to travel to another planet, wouldn't you want to not get some kind of disease that like makes your brain explode? Wouldn't you want to be vaccinated for that? I mean, I would.
Anyways, we got to move on. But so the theory that the coronavirus vaccine may be an ET vaccine in preparation for us joining the Galactic Federation, I like that better than the current one, that it was either a lab release or a newly evolved virus that is just spreading through humanity with no end in sight. I like it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys, you know.
Yeah, brother. Thanks for the call.
It was definitely a pleasure to call in. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you again. Bye.
All right, man. Bye.
How did they get the vaccine here? That's what I want to know. So they must have a person contact on Earth working with the scientists developing this vaccine. I don't know. It's fun. It's a fun theory. Let's bring another call.
Yeah, it is. Good conversation.
It's like, but I mean, yeah, it's a lot. It's food for thought, because you're like, if they're going to vaccinate for this, how many other diseases could they vaccinate us for? I mean,
hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hello.
Hey, you're live.
Oh, okay. Hey, how you guys doing? I'm a big fan.
Hey, doing well, man. Thanks for the call.
I just wanted to share a UFO story I had. It was like an event that happened to me like in 2019.
Please do.
Yep. I was driving outside of Tallahassee, And there was like this town, Quincy, Florida, or something like that. And I pulled over to a rest stop, and there was like this ship. It was like a huge looking ship. I mean, it wasn't an airplane. I've never really talked about it, but the thing just sat up there in the sky and kind of rotated. It had lights that were really, really bright. They weren't LED. They were really blue, which they looked LED, but like if you ever, like a blue light, I don't know, for looking at germs, it was going crazy. And then all of a sudden it just took off and went, I don't know, completely gone, just disappeared. I don't know how to explain it. It just blew my mind. And been listening to your guys' show and just trying to listen to some of these theories and other experiences. None of it makes any sense. So
yeah, no doubt.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
Yeah. So let's go back to the craft. So you didn't, was it a classic saucer shape, did you say, or was it just more of an orb? Or
that's the thing. That's the thing, man. I want to say it is, but like the lights were just so bright, I could not make out what it was. But man, it was not anything I'm still, you know, tongue tied on it.
Did it seem to, was it stationary or was it moving slowly or what it seemed like?
Well, it hovered at one point, but when I started focusing on it, it felt like it kept moving, but it was so high up in the sky. I was trying to track it, and then it just got like it was gone. I don't understand.
So it was ascending, like the light was ascending up, seemingly getting smaller.
No, the lights just stayed bright the whole time. But as soon as I was looking at it, like it was there, it was gone. It just disappeared right in front of my eyes. It didn't like fade away. It didn't like get brighter and like, I know, it just like literally lights on and off, gone.
Just like in a blink, it seemed to disappear.
Yes. And I watched it the whole time. I tracked it and it didn't move much, but it did disappear. It just seemed like it went at one point. That's what I was thinking. It was, you know, fading away, getting further away, but the lights were staying brighter. But the craft itself looked like it was getting smaller, but then it disappeared. So that's just how I can explain it. But it was definitely there. It was there just sitting there watching me, it looked like.
Watching you?
I was the only one at the rest stop, and it was the only one sitting up there. So there was no one there. And it was late at night, probably 3 a.m.
Sorry, did you say where it was, or did I miss that?
Yeah, he said where it was.
Yeah, it was outside of Tallahassee.
Tallahassee.
I can't remember if it was before Tallahassee or after Tallahassee.
But around the area.
Correct. Yeah, tracking east, and it was at a truck stop.
All right, well, if anyone else in 2019...
Or not a truck stop, a rest stop, yeah.
Rest stop. Now, do you remember the month?
It would have been in July.
July 2019?
Yeah, July 2019.
Yeah, I mean, that's an unidentified object right there. I mean, it was there, glowing bright. It was so bright you couldn't make out the shape, and then blink of the eye and gone.
Yeah, and like I said, I really wish, like, I want to understand, like, how it was moving. I don't understand how it was moving. It doesn't make sense to me. Either it was I was standing in front of it and it was descending from me or coming closer to me. I couldn't tell because of the lights, but then it just disappeared. If that makes any sense, I don't know. I'm really bad at explaining things. I'm ignorant, but that's the way I can describe it.
Most of the stuff we hear is like, if you weren't there, you can. It's really hard to really visualize it. So, I mean, it's all these events are super weird and unidentified, and it's hard to explain.
Well, I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time, but I had a question also about a theory I heard. I don't really know too much of the details on whose theory it is, but I do listen to other podcasts. I don't know if that's okay to mention one.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, it's just this Point of Convergence podcast. I've been listening to him, Exo Academian guy. He's just straightforward, pretty much goes over like different books and stuff, and theories and stuff, but the gray aliens is one of these theories I heard of. Like, they're from the future and they're coming back and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy. That'd be a cool movie if they ever decided to make something. But I don't know. I just thought I didn't know if you guys ever heard of that theory.
Yeah, if you're looking for an episode to listen to, if you go back on our feed, we interviewed this guy named Dr. Mike Masters, and he was all about, he was like the scientist, and his theory was all about that we are aliens from the future, and we're somehow manipulating time and or gravity. And so we see these craft, and they seem to be going at a blink of an eye across the sky, but really we're just like witnessing it in a different frame, like time frame. So it could be going at normal speed, but we see it differently because they're actually traveling through time. It was pretty mind-blowing stuff. So Dr. Mike Masters, I think it was from like, I want to say like July. Yeah,
you can look him up, Dr. Mike Masters. You can look up his academic paper. He writes a paper, and I think he has a book actually as well about his whole theory of that extraterrestrial encounters are actually just encounters with humans from the future that have evolved and to look or resemble.
Yeah, he thinks it's due to like Nietzsche, basically like just retaining childlike features into adulthood.
Yeah.
That's something that I guess it's a genetic advancement due to lack of needing
the strength, you know, and everything else. And, yeah. And he also talks about like a lot of the abductions might be because in the future we lose the ability to reproduce or like make eggs or sperm or both. And they think like abducting might just be ourselves taking our own genetic material from the past, like become like time travel and take it and abduct people. So he's that's cool. If you're looking for more on that, Dr. Mike Masters, he's the man.
That's awesome. That, you know, to me, that whole theory, just out of all of them, they're all crazy. I mean, either way you look at it, but that one to me just is like, I could see that. You know,
it's fun,
and
it's fun for sure.
That's one of them. But anyways, guys, awesome. Thank you so much for letting me talk on your show. I've never done this before. I'm just one of the bucket list things. So I'd call in. Well, you guys have a great night.
Yeah, you too, man. Thank you.
You too. Thanks for calling.
If talking to us is on your bucket list, get a bigger list. Bigger list.
I mean, we're honored.
Super honored, but like,
absolutely honored.
This is that still tiny podcast with a bunch of guys who also work full time.
Just a bunch of randoms.
Random
we're not
guys.
Tiny. We're dudes. Middling. I'll give us middling podcast.
Midlings. All right. Another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Yeah. Hi there. James again from East Gwillimburg.
James, welcome back.
Thank you. Listen, I have another thing, and no one really has listened very much to this over the years. I'm 50 years old. I live north of Toronto, just straight up Yonge Street. Anyway, when I was a kid, I had these weird memories, and I couldn't quite figure it out. And then years later, I have an older sister. She's 2 years older. One time we were talking, and it turned out we had these same memories, but I had thought they were dreams. And then over a few conversations, we started to realize that we had the same bizarre-ass memories. And these are full-on alien abduction stuff. Maybe, or we just have the exact same dream, my sister and I. Anyways, do you want to hear any more?
Absolutely. Let's keep it going.
Okay. Generally speaking, to the best of my memory, being floated down the stairs. You know that roller coaster feeling you get when you rip down the hill and you get that like thing in your gut that, yep, you know, you shouldn't be there. It's similar to that. Now I'm floating down my stairs, and then I'm face to face with this entity. Anyways, and it's looking me right in the face, and it best I can explain its appearance was what you describe as a gray or whatever, but its head was lit, like it was glowing phosphorus, maybe over its all, like its skull cap and whatnot. And the moment that I went to communicate with it, it just went joosh and hit me with something, and it was basically, no, everything's fine, don't worry, James. And it knew my name, which was odd. We opened up a drawer in this workshop in this house that I grew up in, and it showed me a human skull. I know it sounds as it must sound as weird as it is.
Were you still floating when he showed you the skull? Like you said, you floated down the stairs.
No, I was standing in what was called the workshop in our house. Now, this happened a whole bunch of times, things just like this. And one of the better or worse, I guess, another one of these ones, my oldest sister, who's 5 years older than me, we were, my sister that's 2 years older, her and I were almost like you were folded up in a deck chair. Like we were in some apparatus. And my oldest sister, who was at the other side of the room wailing, like just wailing in terror at the sight of her younger sister and younger brother being in this some sort of a weird traction thing. And I don't remember that they were evil, nor do I think that they were, it's hard to explain exactly what was going on there. I've never said this out loud to anyone except a couple of close friends. Thing was, we just thought they were dreams forever until, when we became adults and I mentioned it and my sister said, holy shit, that's exact. And now she won't even, if I bring it up, she says, absolutely not. She's not going to talk about it.
Won't even talk about it.
So, yeah. And my oldest sister, who's 5 years older, she says she has no memory of anything like that whatsoever. So it's not bizarre.
So you,
and this went on all many times up till maybe 12, 13 years old. And then it became a ripping alcoholic and it kind of went away. Anyway, all.
Well, usually traumatic experiences will can do that to a person. So
yeah, that keeps them away.
Coping mechanisms.
Yeah, definitely.
Not always the best type of coping mechanism, but.
So like you and your sister experienced the floating down the stairs and being, did she like also say about like being in the shop and the ET showing you the drawer with the human skull?
Well, that's just like she backed off so fast because I think she was a little more freaked out. I'm slightly more inquisitive maybe in the whole matter, and she's backed away entirely from it. Although, she has described exactly very similar things. And also, like the Strieber book, Communion and Transformation.
Yep.
It wasn't until I'd read those that I looked at the cover of that one time and I, oh my word. And this was back in about 1990 when I first discovered that. I thought, oh my word. And then, it just seemed to all like it suddenly I had what you'd say maybe a clarity or like I could now describe what I'd the experiences I'd had now there was someone else has had as well back then so
yeah
that's wild man
heavy duty
cool story
yes sir I wish I had a little more to go with that but I don't
no that's perfect man that's good
no that was great so you've seen the communion the gray alien you like that's the ET that was. Abducting.
I looked it right in the eyes. In fact, I did. Yes. Yeah. Ooh. Scary, eh?
No, yeah. No fucking kidding, man.
Yeah.
Couldn't imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still waiting to figure out how that ends. I think that we'll all figure it out one day, but yeah. Hopefully they're, hopefully they're nice.
Yeah. Hopefully they're the peace loving aliens. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But anyways, keep up the good work, guys. Okay.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate all it. Right,
love you. Yeah, no worries.
Bye. Being abducted multiple times. Nope. You hear a lot of the abduction encounters.
Borderline dream police. Like, again.
The sirens outside.
I was ready. Yeah.
There are a lot of people, and I think it's even that back when we were researching for Whitley Strieber's, our episode on Whitley Strieber's Communion book, there's a lot of people who after it came out said that they had a lot of memories of this exact or something similar, an experience similar to what Strieber described in his book, and that the book kind of gave them a sense of not camaraderie or whatever, but like a sympathy or something like that. So they said they felt like that was something that unlocked those memories that they had their experiences, and they felt a little bit more free to talk about it. So
yeah,
I mean, that's something that came out of that. I mean, Streber's book had a large impact in itself.
Definitely. All right, let's bring in another caller. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. This is Forrest from Summerland, BC again.
Oh, calling back. Okay.
Calling back.
Right on, brother.
This thing's been bugging me for a while, so I wanted to tell you guys about it. Gave you a UFO story last time. This is my paranormal story.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. So back in high school, we would, two friends of mine, shout out Kelsey and Sarah, we would go to graveyards and stuff, and more just for the thrill of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you guys ever do that?
Happens there, dude.
It's freaky.
I get the draw.
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't, we never really, yeah.
Zell's just looking for people the same fucking skin tone as him.
Looking for the dead.
Looking for the paleys.
Well, and I don't know what it was, but, you know, you check it out and it's dark and fun and whatnot. Freaky. But so we never really saw much there. So we would start trying to go further and further with it. And I lived in this house and it always had a freaky basement. And there was a corner by the furnace. And I swear, like the flashlight would turn off when you go in there, and it's this dark corner that could never be lit, and really weird, a lot of weird things in that house. But we ended up never really seeing anything, so we decided to push it a little further. Always joked about getting a Ouija board and stuff, but we never did that. We just decided to do a little seance at night in the backyard, and so we lit a candle and held hands in a circle and all this stuff. But the backyard was against the fence, and then an alley, and then there was like a green space, and then I had a fireplace that was like kind of underground with a wooden cover on it. And so we did the seance, and we like it went through all the normal steps and like asked if anyone was there. And then we were like, can you show us if you're there? We asked a few times, and then we started hearing like knocks from the neighbor's house, and we were like, is that you? And then we started hearing footprints in the back against the alley on the gravel with something that sounded like a metal, like something metal scraping on the ground with each footstep.
Man. No. This fucking sickle coming to get you.
Coming to get you, man. It was so freaky and really like kind of quieter than you'd expect a regular person just to be walking, but definitely like footsteps with something metal dragging. And then it got a little closer and a little closer, but it was still really quiet. And then it stopped, and then our candle went out, and then just past us was the fireplace. So the noise was like to our left, then the candle, and then the fireplace was to our right. And we felt this huge cold sensation. The candle went out, and then this like pretty decent fire like just dead stopped.
Just,
and it was out, and we were like, holy fuck. And we unfortunately like broke the, like we were holding hands, and we broke the circle before asking to break the circle, if that makes sense.
So you're cursed.
No,
you're fucking cursed.
I don't know, man.
You brought in a demon.
Hey, listen, no, I don't want to hear this shit. You live way too close to me. All right, keep the curse. You got to move somewhere else. Get the fuck away from me.
You opened up the gates of hell. You opened up the gates of hell. You brought in the demon. You got scared before you closed the gate. Now you unleashed a demon on the valley.
I think it was one of the other girls that actually took that spirit, because I've been fine, and the other person's been fine, but and I never really talked to Sarah much, but she had kind of a harder life after that, I think. I don't know. Didn't really hang out with her much after, but anyways, super freaky.
Smart move. Yeah. So you got a ditch her. She's got a demon attached to her. Yeah. Don't blame you. That's fine.
Sometimes
you just
got to make
cuts by yourself.
Gotta make cuts, man.
You gotta make cuts. Gotta make cuts. Older. Yeah.
Don't do seances by yourself. You gotta have a scapegoat. Nope. For just like you don't go hiking by yourself. You gotta be able to run faster than the closest.
Always do a seance or play Ouija board with someone more easily haunted than yourself.
That's right.
Why I bring Andrew.
That's why you bring Andrew.
I'm not easily. What are you talking about? I'm cotton buddy. This veil is thick. There's nothing thin about it.
You have
never been paranormally activated in my life.
You got holes. You got holes punctured through that veil, left, right, and center, baby.
Yeah, right, dude. I'm seeing dead people on a regular basis and not being paranormally activated once.
That's what you think.
They're my friends.
They're all hovering above you all the time.
No. It's all good.
That's a.
I'm just not going to look up then.
Just don't look up. Just don't look for him. You'll never find him.
I just won't know.
Yeah, that's a wild tale. What's your thoughts on that? Ghosts and the like.
Well, like, I always felt like there was something weird in that house. We like renovated the basement later and got rid of that dark corner, so it never felt as weird there in that space. But we had a spiral staircase with open steps, and I remember when I was younger, I always felt like you had to get up those last few steps pretty quick.
Yeah.
Or else something would grab you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then, absolutely. I mean, obviously I got older, but I still like felt it in that place. And then we lived there again when I was an adult and never really had any creepy feelings. So I wonder if we released it. I don't know.
You definitely released it.
It wasn't as bad after, but I remember when I was young, like I went to that corner and looking for like the hockey skates or whatever, and the flashlight would turn off. And then you walk out of it and it would turn back on. Like, so
it's an energy.
Pretty freaky. I'm not sure what I think about it. Energy, I think, is something to do with it. It was in Calgary, and we were in the middle of town. So it was kind of an older building, like older house, but.
Okay. So it wasn't close to us. So it's in Calgary. It's fine.
No,
whatever you did is fine.
Yeah. We did it in Calgary. No, we moved to Summerland.
Beautiful. Keep that shit in Alberta.
Another province. It's fine.
Yeah.
Alberta's already cursed. It's fine. Keep it over there.
Yeah. Can't get over the Rockies, man. It's the granite, the solid granite mountain. Yeah. The energy can't pass over.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome, man.
No, pretty freaky, but yeah, I just wanted to call you guys.
Hey, thanks for calling back in. Tell them that story.
Doing good work. Have a good night.
Cheers. I thought he did it in Summerland. I was like, oh, this motherfucker brought a demon.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'm like, don't you put that evil on us.
Brought a demon to the valley here.
No, we don't want nothing to do with it.
This is going to be the last call of the evening. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Guys, it's Uncle Slam from Discord.
Uncle Slam. Uncle Slam. Hell yeah.
Was shaking, man.
Hey, thanks for those beer, those bottle openers, hand carved.
Those are awesome.
Oh, no problem, guys. Yeah, they look rough, but hope you like them.
Hey, they're perfect.
Oh, we got, they're awesome.
I got a quick story from my mom because my life's been unremarkable. So she wrote a letter. I told her I got a venue to share your story.
Oh, so
in a nutshell,
her words on paper is what you're saying.
100%. Yep.
Awesome.
And she is a career academic, so get ready for a ride.
So you have your mom's like Dan.
She's an English teacher.
Pretty much.
I think you mentioned.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty much Dan.
Yep. She was an English teacher. Yep. So this is titled Always Miss Perrin's House.
All right.
It reads, when I was a little girl, I spent a lot of time at my aunt and uncle's home. They had purchased the home many years before after Mrs. Perrin, the previous owner, had passed away there in her bedroom. Oddity was the norm in that house, something we grew up with. Strange things happened on a regular basis. For example, at night, the piano would play church songs by itself and very well, I might add.
Fuck.
Mrs. Perrin had been the piano teacher at our local Catholic church. There was one painting in a spare bedroom that showed a house very similar to my aunt and uncle's home, and the painting was there when they moved in. At night, the lights in the windows of the house and the painting appeared to turn on, bright enough to be a nightlight for us. Once my little cousin and I woke up on Ash Wednesday to have crosses painted on our foreheads.
Wow.
We knew not to fear these things, which is the first red flag for me.
Not to fear them?
Fear them.
Yeah.
Fear
get
them.
The fuck out of there, man.
Yeah, they were just totally cool with that, apparently, but... It goes on to say, again, oddities such as these were the norm. However, we did have one encounter that put the fear of God into us, Andrew. During one holiday event, all the cousins from teens down decided to play with the Ouija board.
Nice.
We chose the room with the painting, as I knew my mother frowned upon that particular game. We asked questions one after another, and the pointer moved all over the place. I was young, so I asked things like, will I ever have a kitten? Will I get to be a Girl Scout? My little cousin was into wrestling, so we asked about getting to meet his favorite wrestlers. My older cousin asked more serious questions. I can't remember all the questions, but I do remember what my cousin Debbie, who had lost a boyfriend to Vietnam, asked, which was if she could talk to him. The pointer continued to move, and as a young girl, I wavered between thinking my cousins were moving it or worrying about something else. The last question that was asked was about the painting, which we'd always been curious about. Where did the painting come from and whose house was it? Suddenly, the pointer shook violently, flew off the board, and literally went through the window. I asked a clarifying question on that point, and it was a closed window. And apparently, the pointer flew through that window.
And the screaming
drew the adults to us.
Broke the window?
Yeah, broke the window.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep. I remember being hysterical and my mom being furious with us. My aunt was yelling at my cousins for scaring us, but those kids in the room knew that what had happened was caused by force none of us understood. After that, my aunt and uncle tried to take the painting out of the room, as none of us would sleep in there anymore. But each time they did, the strangeness would escalate. Old bookcases would topple over, the gas stove would turn on by itself, you name it, and the weather would become bad very quickly. They eventually sold the house, moving out to the country. And when I say country, like, this is a town of less than 5,000 people at the time, so everything's country. Over the years, we watched the house sell to family after family, not one of them staying long. We never spoke to those families, so we have no clue why the constant turnover existed. But oddly, years later, the house, despite being in a prime area and being quite lovely, with hard floors, a wraparound porch, and many other desirable features, was completely leveled. And now, it is a children's playground, one I would never take child to, and apparently others feel the same.
What?
As it is seldom used.
No.
Nah, dude, you have to charge it with the positive, pure energy of children, the innocence. Gotta balance out. Gotta balance out the evil.
That sounds like a euphemism for sacrifices to me, so.
Well, I mean, are kids dying on this playground?
They might be.
Their fucking childhoods are.
As it gets paranormally activated, it's just like my kid ended up splayed across the fucking monkey bars with his intestines.
The only thing dying is their childhood as they get fucking haunted for the rest of their life. Do you know, like, they obviously didn't take the picture then, right? They left it with the house when they sold it?
Unfortunately, no. Because I was ready for some Dan-style scrutiny. So I asked some follow-up questions. And apparently, my aunt and uncle decided it would be wise to take said painting and then in the property they bought next to our current ranch, set it on fire.
Oh,
and that didn't work out too well.
No doubt.
Yeah, so they tried to burn this damn thing like 5 or 6 times, and it never quite died. So they just let the burn pile build up on top of it until it was buried in the ash.
So it still could be there.
It's still there.
Why didn't they put it in the ash? Still could be there. Take it to the dump.
Because they don't want anybody else to take it and get paranormally activated, Dan.
What if you put it to the second center?
Nobody's going to go digging in the ash pile.
Nobody's going to go digging in the dump.
You'd be surprised.
I went to the dump one time. Hey, listen, I went to the dump one time with my stepdad.
If you went to the dump and you took a haunted painting, you deserve to get haunted.
I found boxes of like 70s and 80s Playboys. It was the greatest day of my life. It was the greatest trip to the dump ever.
And now you're haunted.
He let me take them home.
Playmates from the 80s. So,
by Muff.
Playmates. 80s Bush.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Environmentally enlightened age of Texas where we just burned everything. If you didn't have trash service.
It's a common thing. Just burn it.
Yeah. But, one little detail that was left out of that story is that, one little detail that was left out of that, and the one I remember from hearing that story when I was a kid, is that there were 8 cousins there, all pretty close in age. And of the 8, 6, which of today would all be in their early 50s, 6 of the 8 are dead.
What? 6 of the 8? That's unfortunate.
That were there playing Ouija that night are dead.
Oh man. All like weird. Like an accident or like how?
Yeah, so two of them were motor vehicle accidents. Three of them, and this could be explained away with genetics and other fun stuff, had aneurysms in their sleep.
Three of them did? They had three of them had aneurysms? Yeah.
That doesn't seem
correct.
Damn, dude. That's you gotta,
very bad luck.
I'd be getting fucking annual CT scans if I were you. Fuck.
Oh, dude, it terrified me. That's my genetics, man.
That's what I'm saying. I'd be getting just fucking CT scans on the regular.
Scan up.
Yeah, but that's it for me, guys. That's what I have for you. I thought Andrew would love it.
Great story.
It's his favorite thing, second to the lions.
That's a terrifying story.
No, that was great, though. That was terrifying, but I enjoyed it. Like, it was good. It was eloquent, scary. I had it all.
I love that she wrote it down. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I didn't expect that, but I should have.
Damn. You said your mom's, like, pretty academic. What's her thoughts on it?
She's 100% convinced. So, I mean, there's been two times I've seen in my life where she's been sold something that wasn't easily explained was true. One was this, and one was a UFO sighting out towards her house. And it shook her pretty bad.
Damn.
I don't know, man. I feel like if she would have lived through this and been able to, like, tell the tale, she'd be the hardest woman on the planet. I wouldn't leave my house. I wouldn't look at another painting. I wouldn't do anything. I would just have empty walls. A joyless life with nothing.
Never terrifying. Buying a painting in my life, I'll tell you that.
Damn straight.
No doubt. That is freaky. Well, hey, thanks for telling that story, and tell your mom thanks for writing it down.
Yeah, for sure, guys.
Thanks for putting pen to paper. Good one. Yeah.
All right, brother. Maybe. We'll see you on Discord.
Peace.
Bye. And six of the eight people playing that game are gone? That's terrible. That's terrible odds.
That's not good odds.
That's not good odds. Wow, six of eight.
The only thing scarier than the story are the genetics with the aneurysms. That's terrifying. Yeah, to terrifying. Carry yourself up a slam.
All right, another episode of Cosmic Channels in the bag. If you like the show and you want to hear it early, and maybe you're just tuning in for Cosmic Channels, you have never heard our actual main show, all our case files, if you get on our Patreon, we drop this episode early. You can find the link in the podcast description. I know there's other people calling every week. We got to say the same thing. Call back in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today. Actually, wait. That might be holidays. We might be taking a break then. Do a quick check here on the fly. 2 weeks from today will be Boxing Day. We'll not be recording. I will not be here. So next Cosmic Channels recording will be January 9th. Will be
in the new year.
In the new year. January
next Cosmic See Channels you guys will be next Boxing year. Day. I gotta start Christmas shopping, man. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Two weeks, baby. You better get your Christmas,
yeah,
Christmas
that's
list done.
Alarming.
If you can find anything with the massive supply chain shortage in BC, especially.
Yeah. There's
no highways are open.
Well, and we've had to buy local too, because you can't ship anything in right now.
Yeah, and then the local stores can't make anything because they can't ship anything in to make it. We're in a pickle here.
Absolutely.
Anyways,
Christmas is canceled.
Everyone, have a good holidays. Regular case files will come out for the next 2 weeks, but after that, we'll take a short break. We'll be back in the new year.
Cosmic Channels is brought to you by Big Theory Productions. The Cosmic Channels are now closed.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.